Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, Mitzvahs Lulav Ketzad. So till now we discussed that if the first day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbos, then they would take the Lulav bundle on Shabbos, because the taking of the Lulav bundle on the first day is on a Torah level, not just a rabbinic level, so it push off Shabbos. Now we're going to discuss, what was the process. So Mitzvahs Lulav Ketzad, how would they perform this mitzvah of taking Lulav when the first day fell out on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash? We're referring to the times of the Beis HaMikdash, of course. Because nowadays, even if the first day falls out on Shabbos, we still don't take the Lulav bundle. So Misha says, Yom Tavarishon Shalachag, the first day of Sukkot. Shchaliot b'Shabbos that fell out on Shabbos, like we discussed in Mishnah Gimel, that they would take the Lulav during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Molichin es lulavan lahar habayis. So they would take it in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So what would they do? They would bring their lulavs to the har habayis on Erev Shabbos. Okay, even though it's permitted to move a lulav on Shabbos, it's not muktzah, right, during those times. Nevertheless, it's prohibited to carry from one domain to another domain, unless there's an Erev, of course. So what they would do is they would place the nation would place their lulavs in the har habayis, which is right by the Beis HaMikdash, before Shabbos. And then all the gabbais over there, mekabel mehen, they would receive the lulavs. V'sodvinosan agabia itztva, and they would be mesadik, they would place them on top of the itztva. So what's this itztva? There was an ulam, a hall, shalamudim, like this area of pillars, mefulash, it was smooth, and mekura, and it was roofed, particularly with a roof. Shahaya that was located in the Har Bias. They had this area where they would put all the lulavs down, in the Har Bias right before the Beis HaMikdash. And they would do this on Erev Shabbos. So they wouldn't be carrying it on Shabbos from one domain to another. V'hazakenim, and people that were older, and they weren't, they couldn't be pushing through all the people to accept the lulavs the next day. So they, menichenes shalahen v'lishka, they had a special lishka, a special chamber, where they were able to leave their lulavs so they could, beat the hustle and bustle and just pick up their own lulavs. Umalamdim osam lomar, and Beis Din would teach the people to say as follows. They would say like this, stipulation. Call me shmagia lulavi biyado, harihu lov matana. Whoever receives my lulav in his hand, let it be for him as a gift. Meaning, when everyone came on Shabbos to receive the lulav, there were too many people to be giving each person his own lulav. Otherwise, it would just be total chaos. So they would just give each person whatever lulav came to his hand. Now we know on the first day of Sukkot you have to have your lulav, like we went earlier in Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Gimel. So you can't use somebody else's lulav. So therefore they would say that, any lulav which is in the higher bias, wherever it is, let it be my friend so that it'll become his like a gift. And he'll receive it and he can go ahead and then shake with his own lulav, not just the bar lulav on the first day of Yom Tov. Right now this is all during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays in the shuls, well, the truth is, this is actually referring to in those days. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to make this special stipulation. Because there were so many people, it's impossible to get your own lulav. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah, make sure that it's yours, everyone would say, I'm giving mine as a gift, whoever receives it. But in those days, in the shuls, they wouldn't have to make this stipulation. Because there weren't so many people, and everybody would come and pick their own lulav. So in those days, when they actually did shake the lulav, even on Shabbos, they would bring it to the shul, as opposed to the Har Habayis on Erev Shabbos. They'd place it in their cup, and they would take it, because there weren't so many people, so they knew, whose was what. Okay. Lamacha the next day. So now the next day is Shabbos. Mashkim, they would wake up. Uban, they would come to the Har Habayis. V'chazan and Zarkin Osam. And then all the gabbais would take the lulavs, and it would be like, a toss. They would throw all the lulavs to everybody to receive it. Lefnayan, in front of all the people, to the whole nation. They would be grabbing, everybody's grabbing the lulavs. Not only were they grabbing it, but each person wanted to receive his own. Even with this stipulation in place of saying, wherever my lulav should be, I should go to my friend so that it be his, they still wanted to receive their own. Ukshiro Bazin, when Bazin saw Shabal the Sakana, that it came to a Sakana, it became dangerous. Everyone's beating each other up to get their lulavs. His kino, they made an enactment, the Takana, Sheikalach of Echad Notel, that everyone should take his own lulav on Yom Tov, even on the first day of Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, but based on his own house, don't bring us, Erev Shabbos at Har Habayis to take it the next day in the base of Mikdash, because it became a whole war. So we're not telling you not to do it. You can still do it. It's not mukta, but do it in your house. That's what ended up happening. And again, this is all during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, we don't use it at all on Shabbos, because nowadays it's going to be Muktzah, and therefore we don't use it. Okay, that's Mishnah Dalet. So that was the mitzvah, that's what they would do. That's this mitzvah of Lulav, the Lulav bundle. Mishnah Hey, now mitzvahs arava keter. What was the mitzvah of the arava bundle? So this wasn't really a bundle. I mean, well, it could be. We'll see in a second, depending if they took one arava or a group of aravos. But the point was, this is not the arava that we're familiar with the lulav bundle. The lulav had the lulav, hadasim, aravos, and the esrog. And now here is a separate arava standing in it by itself, and it was extremely large. So let's see what this is. The mitzvah of arava, what was it? Ketzad. Makam ha'ilamatam Yerushalayim. There's a place at the bottom of Yerushalayim. V'nikra Motza. It was called Motza. They explain over here, the Gemara says its name is actually Klanya. And until today, that's what its name is. V'od hayom kach shmo. Until today, that's what it's called. And the Arava is found over there. And it's a place that's a little bit far from Yerushalayim. And Klanya means chafshi mimas, free from tax. Because l'fikach nikra motza, and therefore they call the place motza. Motza means like to be motzi, to take out. Because it would take out from the mas ha-melech, to take out money from the tax of the king, b'shvil ha-rava shalokim v'shalom, to buy the rava they bought from there. Meaning they would buy the rava with money from the taxes. So the ravas were tax exempt, and they'd use the king's money to purchase the aravos. Okay? Alright. That's why it's called motza, to be motzi, to take out. That's why it's called klanya. That's what it means. Okay. Yardin Lashon, they went down there, Umalakdin, they would gather them, Misham from there, Morbios Shel Arava. Morbios is Anafim Gadol, these big giant branches. They were Yud Aleph Amma, they were 11 Amos tall. These are not, you know, 2 feet Aravos that are on your Lulav bundle. These were 11 Amos, is about 22 feet tall. And when Yichelson, they placed them by the Mizbeach, Al Yisod, by the Yisod of the Mizbeach, and the tips of them, their heads, would like go up and then bend over the Mizbeach and Amma because it was so tall. So not only would it go over the Mizbeach, but it would bend over the Mizbeach, by an Amma. Uban, they'd come, Vizokvin Osan, they would prop them up, Bitsidiyah Mizbeach, the sides of the Mizbeach. Varashen, Kfufud Agav Mizbeach, the heads tipped over over the Mizbeach. And then Taku, they would blow the shofar, at Tekia, one long blast, Veiriu, then a Trua, multiple short blasts, Vitaku, then again a Tekia long blast. So it was a whole, you know, simcha, whole, you know, joyous event when they would do this. Pchoyom every day, Makivan is the Mizbeach Pamachas. Every day they did a hakafa, they went in a circle around the Mizbeach one time. Ra'omim, and they would say, Ana Hashem Oshia na, Ana Hashem Aslicha na. Please God save now, please God bring success now. Rabbi Yehuda says, they said something else. They said, Ani veho hoshiana, another kind of context of, you know, similar pasuk. They explain over here, let's see, Ani veho. So Ani veho is the gematria, the numerical value of Ana Hashem, please God. It's just another way of saying it. And not only that, Vodhim Shnei Shemos Shivashem Ayim Beis. There's a 72-letter name of God. We don't pronounce it. But these two words of Anivaho are from that 72-letter name. Another mystical explanation. Pirish Acher, another explanation is, what's Anivaho? Mi Sha'ani V'hu Betzara. Al Derech Imo Anochi Betzara V'hoshiana. Meaning, me, God, I'm with you, my people that are in pain, and I will save now. Saying that, you know, God's with us through trying times and through troubled times, and Hoshiana he'll save now. Okay, another different text that they would use. That was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now, this is every day they went around the Mizbeach one time. And on the seventh day, they circled the Mizbeach Sheva Pa'amim 7 times. And then Bishas Betirasa, when they would leave, Mahin Omer, what would they say? Yofi lach mizbeach, yofi lach mizbeach. They say, beauty unto you, mizbeach, beauty unto you, mizbeach. They say it twice. Abliezer, Omer Abliezer says, laka v'lach mizbeach, to God and to you, mizbeach. And then again, repeat, laka v'lach mizbeach, to God and to you, mizbeach. And they explain over here, what does it mean, yofi lach mizbeach, yofi lach mizbeach, that beauty unto you, mizbeach, beauty unto you, mizbeach. It means that Hayofi hazan achlo osim lach, this beautiful thing that we're doing to you, mizbeach, she'ata mechaper leinu, that you're bringing atonement for us, for our sins. So that's what's, you know, so look at this beautiful thing that we're, you know, doing this performance and the mizbeach will atone for us. And then the other pshat of lekav alach, to God and to you, mizbeach, what does that mean? So it means like this, that they would say, leka, to God, anach demodim, we are modeh, we thank, right, that he is our God. But to you, Mizbeach, anu mishabch, we praise that you're beloved to us to atone for our sins. Okay, another different way to explain this. to God, Lachan Anu Mevarchim, to God we bless. Lachan Timas Beach Anu Mekalsim, we praise because you're going to be atoning for our sins when we bring the karbanos and everything that we do, through the Mizbeach. It's a source that atones for our sins. So that wraps up Mishneh Hay, and that's how Mishneh described the Arava service, that they would grab these gigantic Aravos, 22 feet tall, 11 amos tall, put it by the Mizbeach, and then, circle it and sing these different praises for the days of Sukkot. And then, of course, on the last day, they would do 7 times. And that was the day of the Arava. I'm sorry, days of Arava, because it was every day 1 time they circled. Then the 7th day, they circled the 7 times. All right. And that wraps up our Mishnah for today.